Let's pray. Father, we ask you humbly, God, to give us your spirit, to illumine your word and your son, Jesus Christ, for us, God. We ask with the power and authority in the blood and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are in and of ourselves, we are unworthy, God. But we come in your name, trusting in you and asking as your children for your blessing, God. So would you shine your face upon us and give us your words, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was eyeing to see if Sujun was here. She asked me yesterday if I could, instead of preaching, just show pictures of Grand Canyon for 30 minutes. Oh, okay. I guess you prefer that. I will deny her and you all that pleasure and force you to sit through this hopefully not too boring sermon. I am warning you, though, we are going to read a lot of verses today from the Old Testament. So one thing that I do, right? Like, I don't know, it's just something that I find myself doing, and people even at work have kind of pointed it out a little bit. Whenever we're like talking about a topic, I need, in order to understand that topic, I need to zoom out in layers. So I need to zoom out a little bit and understand like what's going on around this. And then I zoom out a little further. I need to understand more. I need to understand context. So if you didn't know, last week, our family went to like the Grand Canyon area, all right, which was beautiful and wonderful. We visited national parks and we stayed in this little town called Kanab, K-A-N-A-B, Kanab, Utah. First time in Utah. And so, you know, I like looked up Kanab, Utah on Google Maps and I'm like, where is this place, right? It's like in the middle of nowhere, no idea what's going on. And then I zoom out a little bit. I'm like, oh, like Kanab is in Utah and it's like touching Arizona. I didn't know Utah touched Arizona. Okay. I'm an American. I don't know geography, right? So I was like, okay. So I'm like, okay. So it's like, it's kind of on the border, right? It's about, I don't know, 10 miles from the border. And Grand Canyon is actually in Arizona, I think. And so, you know, you drive down and I was like, oh, okay. And then I zoom out a little further, right? A couple clicks more. I'm like, oh, huh. Nevada touches Utah. I mean, I knew Arizona touched California, right? But I was like, oh, okay. So we flew into Las Vegas and drove, you know, that way. It's like, okay, cool, right? And then I zoom out further. I'm like, oh, Salt Lake City is like in Utah. I forgot about that, right? And then there's like things above that and then things to the left and to the right. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then you have, you know, even further east is like the Rocky Mountains. And so then I'm like zooming out and then eventually I'm like looking at the globe, right? And then zooming back in. And it was very helpful. It was very helpful to zoom out and then zoom back in because then it gives you some sense of like directionality, right? Like I kind of sort of understand where I am in the context of these states, in the context of this area. And it's very helpful. I don't know. I do that a lot, not just with geography because I'm terrible at geography, but I do that with a lot of things. You know, I do that with, I do it at work. Right? When people are talking about a topic, I'm like, okay, hold on. I might be the dumb one here, but like, what are we talking about here, right? Can someone zoom out for me and help me understand like what's going on here, right? And then I can zoom back in and I can understand the system, right? The context of what's going on. And then it helps me feel like I can have some directionality in this conversation. And I hope, all right, I hope, I don't know how good of a job we're doing, but I hope even something like Walk Through the Bible is zooming out from Scripture so that when you zoom in to some seemingly random verse in a seemingly boring book of Numbers, and you read something, right? I hope, I pray, and I hope, and I was praying for you guys and you all, like, you know, I hope things like Walk Through the Bible, or just as we preach more and teach more, and as we dig into the overarching history of God and the history of the earth and the history of the universe, that we can see, you know, where this verse in Scripture, you know, you can zoom out little by little and then zoom back in, right? And you can understand what's going on. And also in your life. So for the next, I don't know, probably about 8 or 9 weeks, I want to start a sermon series on called The Kingdom of Heaven. Okay? The Kingdom of Heaven. When Jesus comes onto the scene, he says, this is the good news. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay? And if you don't know how to zoom out and like understand the context, you're like, oh, okay, Jesus, okay, that's interesting. Kingdom of heaven. Okay, you know? So I want to zoom out a little bit and zoom back in and understand, like, what is Jesus talking about here, right? And if you've been to the church for a while, you know we talk a lot about the kingdom. We talk a lot about the kingdom of God and, you know, Jesus as king and things like that, right? But I hope that, and it's for me, you know, there's as I'm reading, there are things that God is connecting for me that I hadn't really quite connected, and maybe I'm the slow one here. I don't know, you know, but like I hadn't really quite seen that, and it's not just insight for insight's sake, but I hope that we can understand in all of history when you zoom out to the globe, right, and you look at the whole thing. You can see that, and I think scholars would agree, right? So this is not like just Robert saying this, but I think biblical scholars and pastors and theologians way smarter than me and more educated than me would say, and much, you know, holier than me, would say that the primary theme of all and everything that God is doing in all of humanity, the very reason why he created this earth, and the very thing he is going to do when he brings the new heaven and new earth is his kingdom. It is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That is what God is trying to do from the beginning. That is what he does at the end. And we'll show that over some weeks. So that, not just so that we can see it. Oh, that's nice head knowledge, right? So that you can see your life and the things that happen in your life today and tomorrow, and that meeting that you're going to have at work, and that conversation you're going to have, and that fight you might have with your spouse, and the, you know, like, or the conversation you're going to have with your parents. You're zoomed in, right? And you got to... We gotta, like, in our minds, in our hearts, we gotta learn how to zoom out and zoom in. So when Nate says, you know, God, help us to have eternity in mind. Eternity is zooming out. You gotta see, you know, and that's when we sing the song, God, be thou my vision, right? That's part of what we're asking. God, open my eyes, right? To, like, this thing. Because when you're just, like, in there, you know, when you're in the trenches every day, you know, and I'm in the trenches every day, I mean, it can be really discouraging, you know? And we got to learn the discipline of and the devotion of knowing how to zoom in and zoom out and zoom in and zoom out and make decisions day to day in light of the kingdom of heaven, right? And what God is doing in all of humanity. Okay? So, I'm going to try to get through this quickly. 30 minutes, right? I'm already at 10 minutes, by the way. says my timer. So let's go fast, okay? I'm going to try to go fast and be faithful. And if I had to title this particular sermon, I would just say, the establishing of the kingdom. Okay? The establishing of the kingdom of heaven. So that's why we need to read Exodus. Because in Genesis, okay, I'm kind of going back to, I'm mixing walk through the Bible now, right? With if you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, when God establishes the nation of Israel, right? Like he established the foundations of the world, then he, through Abraham, he calls Abraham, says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations, of the nation, and I'm going to, and your that nation is going to bless many nations. And then it's Isaac, right? Isaac, the promised child, comes. So, but really, like, the talk of kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom, the people of God, the kingdom of God, is not really, actually, God doesn't really start to talk about that until Exodus. They cross over the Red Sea. They're camped around Mount Sinai, if you remember from Walk Through the Bible. They're there for a while, right? This is before the wandering and dying. This is before the spying, okay? This is God beginning. Okay, so they've just crossed the Red Sea, and now God in Exodus 19 is starting to establish the kingdom. The rules of the road, all right? The laws, the policies, right? What is this kingdom? He begins to establish, right, in more detail, this kingdom. So let's read, okay? Let's read. Exodus 19, verse 1 through 6, all right? There's a lot of verses here, all right? So try your best, all right, to follow along, okay? On the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out from the land of Egypt, okay? So third new moon, 3 months. 3 months after the people had crossed the Red Sea out into the land, out of the land of Egypt, on that day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai, right? Remember that little part on the map, Mount Sinai, okay? They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, okay, so now this is God starting to talk, right? I mean, he said some stuff, right? Before this, they crossed the Red Sea. They got some bread and manna from heaven. They got some water from the rock, okay? But they're still kind of traveling to this area of Sinai, and then they camp. That's what it says. They encamp in Sinai, and then God begins to speak to Moses, okay? The Lord called out to him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel. So he's speaking to Moses, and he's saying, this is what I need you to go tell the people, to the nation of Israel, okay? You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, okay, you saw what I did, right? Now, right? Now we're getting to the real stuff. If, I put a little circle on if, it's a condition, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, all right? Now, I didn't put this in here, but maybe think mentally, covenant, well, like a marriage covenant, right? Like a marriage promise, a marriage commitment, a set of vows. The most, you know, most relevant, probably pertinent, earthly analogy of covenant that God gives us is marriage. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is a commitment, a contract, a promise, a set of vows and commitments. When you get married, right, I don't know what kinds of vows you all said, but in, you know, sickness and in health, in plenty and want, richer or poorer, that's my commitment, right? So if you will indeed obey my voice, obey my commandments, and keep my covenant, again, the marriage covenant, right? Then you shall be my treasured possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me. Now, this is a separate idea. I mean, it's a separate but connected idea, okay? And you shall be to me. Now, if you do those things, if you obey my commands, if you obey my voice, and you keep that those sets of vows and commitments, right? You'll be my treasured possession. And then you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Kingdom. Okay? And these are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So, this is the thing, like, again, maybe you all are much smarter and faster than I am, but this, like, just did not connect for me until I really just, like, parked here for a while. When God comes to the very beginning, when God comes to establish his kingdom, God is the king, and he wants a kingdom. Now, when we think of kingdom, I don't know, like the British monarchy, right? And you think about, you know, Queen Elizabeth and, you know, these princes and kings and, you know, King Charles and, you know, and all the lineage of that, right? And there's a lot of drama, you know, it's like, but, you know, you think about a king and you think about like an earthly government, you think about laws and policies and people and, you know, and that's not, I mean, that's part of what God wants because he has laws and he has the rule of law. But the very, I hope you see this here, the very crux, like the very foundation of this kingdom that God is establishing. He wants to be married to his people. He wants exclusivity. He doesn't just want a nation for a nation's sake. He can raise up a nation. He can raise up an army. He can raise up a government. Right? He can run an economy, and the very foundations of this kingdom, this holy set apart nation, is that we're going to be his treasured possession. So whatever you think the kingdom of God is, whatever you think the kingdom of heaven is, all right? Fundamentally, it's that. God wants to be intimately involved and very exclusive with his people. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. At least that's what that says. Like, from the beginning, that's how God was establishing the kingdom of God. All right? I want to be exclusive with you, right? He wants to be ours. And he wants us to be his, right? And again, so as I go through this, I just want you to sort of hold in the back of your mind these ideas of marriage. Because marriage is earthly, right? Marriage is temporary. Jesus says, Tammy and I are not going to be married in heaven, right? So marriage is just this earthly analogy. But even in earthly marriage, there has to be exclusivity, right? It wouldn't be right. Even in an earthly sense, right? Now let's keep reading. Okay, so this is the beginning. Okay, now let's read the next Exodus 20. All right, so right after this, God goes into the Ten Commandments. All right, so let's read Exodus 20, 1 through 6. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall be exclusively mine. That's the kingdom. That's the nation and the kingdom and the reign and the rule. So God is, this is interesting, right? God is not like this distant king who just wants to reign and rule over everything. He wants to rule over my heart and your heart. He wants me to be exclusive with him. That's the kingdom. So, you know, like as a kid, I'm like reading these Ten Commandments, right? I'm like, oh my gosh. So like, I don't know, it's just dry, right? Like, wow, right? Like, you know, I don't know. That's how I felt when I was a kid, right? And even as an adult, maybe, right? Like, Ten Commandments, you know, then like, you know, you see them written on posters and stuff. I don't know, right? Like, it's not, this is the marriage contract. So God's law, I hope you see this. God's laws, they're not do's and don'ts. They're the terms of the marriage. Okay? When God says, you shall have no other gods before me, it's not because he's trying to be mean. It's because he wants all of you. When he says, go confess your sins, right, to one another, sounds like you can read that command. It's like, it's like so burdensome, right? Right? It's not a do or don't. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. Confess your sins because I wanna be with you, you know? And all the other commands that God has, right? So when it says we obey his commandments, he's not like this like dictator that we're just like trying to, you know, check these boxes off. Like, okay, I did these things. You know, that's religiosity. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They turned it into that. And they lost their first love. It's about love. It's about being his possession, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. If you're married, we've said this before. If you're married, okay, and your spouse is out all night with their ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. They don't come home till 3 a.m. in the morning. I hope you are jealous. I hope so, right? Because you have this expectation of exclusivity, right? She's mine, I'm his, right? Like, you know, like, so if that doesn't fly in earthly marriage, can you see that God is intensely jealous? This is right after he establishes the kingdom, right? The start of the kingdom. And then he starts to establish laws, the vows and commitments in for the people in the kingdom. I am a jealous husband. You are going to be mine completely. That's the law. The law in the kingdom is that this is what God is aiming at. You're gonna be mine. And it's his promise too. You're gonna be mine. Completely. Let's jump ahead a little. Exodus 23. Okay? Because this is when he starts talking about how he's gonna give them this possession, this land, this promised land. Right? And he talks about these competing nations. Right? Remember, it was because there were foreigners. There were foreigners going back into the land of Canaan. And there were other people that were there. There were other kingdoms that were already established there. Okay? Non-Christian or non-Jewish, non-Christian nations. Behold, okay, Exodus 23. I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place where I have prepared. I'm going to take you into the promised land. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out. God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Okay? You shall not... Why does he wipe them out? Okay? Because this is a little controversial. Like, sometimes non-Christians are like, God is like devastatingly mean God. you know? Like, he destroys these kingdoms, right? He tells the Israelites to wipe these people out. But why? Why does God say that they should do that? You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars into pieces. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant commitment with them. I'm driving them out because I don't want you to be tempted by them and their gods, right? They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. I'm driving them out, right? Do you see the marriage analogy here? It's like, you know, like, I wish some of you, well, I don't know if I wish this, but, you know, some of you knew me and like the pre-Christian Robert, right? And, you know, there's like, you can talk to me or Tammy or whomever, you know, stories. And, you know, like I would, like the first time I went to a bar, you know, like drank alcohol was like, I don't know, ninth grade. First time I went to a club was like 15, right? And, you know, so I, like there's like past sins and, you know, and I remember when I became a Christian and, you know, I still had my high school friends and things like that. And they were still going out to clubs and drinking and, you know, like bars and, you know, and drinking. And, you know, this like, it's just, you know, there's a culture and there's, you know, close your ears, young ones. But, you know, like there's, you know, like girls and skim, I don't know, whatever, right? And I remember making the difficult decision, maybe as a 21, I was 20, so it was before, somehow I was still going before I was, yeah, 21. But anywho, I made the decision to kind of like cut that off. And my friends, you know, were very disappointed in me. Hey, I thought you were like my bro, you know? And it's not because I was like a holy guy. I really wasn't and I really am not. It's just, it was a snare. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm involved in something that is a potential temptation to like my marriage with Tammy, she has every right to say, yeah, you got to stop that. Whatever it is, you can't go there, you can't do that, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, right? That makes total sense. So the reason why God is bringing them into this land and pushing out the other nations, it's like, again, he wants that exclusivity, right? I want all of you. I can't let you be tempted, right? Like, put the blinders on, right? Because these other nations were grand and big. Remember what Caleb said in the walk through the Bible? They're big. They got mighty fortresses, big kingdoms, right? God's like, you got to get him out. He knows us. He knows me, right? He knows you. You got to like, you know, put the blinders on. Why? Because he wants us, right? Exodus 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered with one voice. So he comes back to the people. So this is God talking to Moses, and he's going back up and down a couple times. And he's like, hey, you got to tell this to all the people. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Right? Yeah, and I can't judge all of their intentions, and maybe they did want to do it. I mean, they don't do it very well, you know, because we're sinful. But they said, yes, I'll commit to that. Okay? I'll commit to those vows, right? And those commitments. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. So now the ceremony is occurring, okay? The marriage ceremony, perhaps. And the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it on the basins and half of the blood and he threw it on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. It's like a marriage ceremony, right? And they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do and we will be obedient. I do. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people. It's kind of a gruesome sort of ceremony. Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. I hope you see that the establishing of the kingdom of God. Okay, this is why I think, you know, the first five books of the Bible are amazing, right? They get a bad reputation a little bit. When you read it in that light, right? This is God establishing his kingdom, his people, his treasured possessions with all the laws and the commitments and the vows. Because I'm not going to be married to Tammy for that much longer in this life. When we die, you know, we're not married in heaven. And my true marriage is with my God. And this marriage or other covenant relationships like your growth groups, and we're just learning how to be committed to one another in this life, right? So that we're not surprised when we get to heaven. Because God wants all of us exclusively. So when we say all of Scripture is pointing to the kingdom of God, and when Jesus comes, and we're going to read it, when Jesus comes, right? Actually, let's read it. Okay? I think it's the next verse. Jesus came, Mark verse 1, 14 to 15. This is the very start of his ministry. Yeah, I mean, in the book of Mark, right? I mean, there's different versions. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming good news. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is here. And then he says something that kind of like confuses most of the Jewish people. Repent. They were waiting for the next King David. Right? We need to be freed from the oppression of the Romans. We've been an oppressed people for centuries. We need a king who's going to ride in and bring a military and save us from all this overtaxation and oppression and the killing of our people. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Jesus, come back to me. Right? The kingdom is about God's exclusive, passionate, intimate longing for your heart. So repentance is not just like, you know, it's just like, oh, I feel bad about stuff. It's like you feel bad that you broke God's heart and you want to come back to him. And believe in the gospel. Believe in that good news that Jesus Christ is coming to establish through his blood that kingdom. All right? And let me close with this. And here's the question, okay? Here's the question. Here are a couple questions. A couple questions for us to think about and reflect on, okay? In this verse, Jesus says, I'm here with good news, okay? But if you've read the Gospels and you read the time of Jesus, it was not good news for everybody. Okay? So the question is that good news to you? Do you want that kind of relationship with God? He's very exclusive. You know? And if you are a believer and you've committed your life, you know, you've prayed the prayer, you've committed your life to Christ, what you've committed to is an intimate, exclusive marriage with a jealous God, paid for by the Son of God. The Son of God's blood was sprinkled across the marriage ceremony to ratify the covenant. Do you want that? Because I would dare say some of you, maybe didn't know what you were getting into when you became a Christian, you know? Or maybe you're not Christian and you're struggling with that. And that's good. You should struggle with that. Because you got to be all in. And that's God's work, by the way, right? God's going to do the work in your heart, just like he did the work in my heart and your heart, and will continue to do the work in your heart to make you want that. Exclusively with God. So I hope and I pray that that's good news. Because for some people, it's like an unwanted arranged marriage. I don't know if that's good news. Like so jealous. It's like so needy, right? But if you are broken and you are longing for something, you know, I dare say you are longing probably for God in the depths of your heart, then that's good news. Jesus is coming to establish that kingdom with that law and those covenant commitments. He's going after your heart. And then the second question would be, right? For those of us who are believers and you know, and you want that, but you're struggling. I mean, Nate was saying, right? Like, every day, you know, I just prefer other things, right? I would say that there's both a call to repent, but also hope, right? Jesus came, and we're going to get into this as we talk more about the kingdom, right? And the role that Jesus plays in the establishing of the kingdom and the blood of the new covenant, right? Because the old covenants didn't work and the blood of goats and bulls didn't work. But his blood is very effective, right? And here's the thing. God wants that kind of relationship with you more than you want it with him. I mean, that's great news, isn't it? That God, yeah, I mean, like, God loves you way more than you love God. Just like a parent loves their children way more than their children love their parents. And that's okay. That is what it is, right? I'm happy to love my kids more, right? So because God's kindness leads us to repentance, right? So I hope you see that God, through Christ and into eternity, is just pursuing his people, right? And through Christ, he is happy to do that. Doesn't mean he doesn't get disappointed and hurt, you know, but he's happy to, that's his MO. He is happy to pursue and to pursue. And in this lifetime, we're just learning to shed other things, to pursue God into the kingdom. Okay, let's pray. And if I could ask, yeah, if Nate could come up and lead us, Let's bow our heads and can we pray to God? Our Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my friend, my lover, my Savior, my Redeemer. We're such disappointing people to God at times, right? Like, you know, we fall short. And he knows that, right? He knows these things. And let's, you know, when if Tammy and I get into a fight or, you know, she's not, hopefully this is okay to say, if she's, you know, she's not feeling very loved by me or, you know, we have a talk and, you know, we need to renew our commitments. And that's okay, you know? Like, because God is very forgiving. Just like I hope you're forgiving to your spouses, right? When we lose our way, and it turns more into a checklist than, you know, a devotion. And God, through the Sabbath, he's just asking us to come again. Hey, just recommit again, right? Let's be specific as we pray. You know, there are these foreign, you know, so to speak, foreign nations that are coming and tempting us. And, you know, it's not just about all, you know, just casting it out to be super holy, right? Like holier than thou or something. It's, we want to be set apart for him, right? So let's pray, and let's, as we learn of the kingdom, let's renew our commitments, right, to God. Let's thank him for the blood of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. That, and let's thank him. Say, God, thank you for loving me so and wanting it to be so exclusive. You want my heart, God. So let's pray, and let's sing to close.